10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to Toons Game Time, Season 1, Episode 5, for February 2nd, 2015. It's Groundhog Day, and just like any other Groundhog Day, we're experiencing some technical issues right off the bat, but that's none of your business. Toons Game Time is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network, where you can find all kinds of different shows like Toons Game Time, and Spanish and Eighth Table, Old School at the Movies, trending mobile technology, and a whole lot more. So go to TrendingTopicsNetwork.com to find a full lineup of podcasts, pretty much anything for you, even stuff for girls, like All Wine Aside. Or you can go to Toonshow.com, that's our site, and you'll find all kinds of different stuff at Toonshow.com, whether it's you're interested in mashed potato sculptures or whatever it is, we got it over there. If you would like to be a part of the show, as our great guest here this afternoon actually is going to be a part of this show, as I stammer and stutter. Thank you, Pamela, for Skype. I appreciate you throwing me into a tizzy. It's real easy to do. Just contact us at toonshow@gmail.com, toonshow on Twitter, which is just at toonshow, or myself, at toonsbrian. On Facebook, on Skype, where our ID is Toon Show, and you can actually leave us a voicemail, too. So do all that, and we can get you on the show, just as we're going to have our guest, who I'm going to introduce at this time. I'm not all that familiar with him, to be honest. We've had some Twitter conversations, but the important thing is, he's into video games. He's big time into video games, and that's a great thing, because who better to talk video games with than people who like them? If we had my wife on, it'd be a different story, because she's not a fan at all. However, this week's guest, his name is Tucker McKee, and he can be found on Twitter at @you_me_and_McKee. Welcome to the show, Tucker.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we haven't really been introduced all that much or had very many detailed conversations or anything. So one of the things I'd like you to do is tell us a little bit about yourself, because a lot of the people, we call them trenders or loonies if they're into tunes and fans of the Toon Show.
Nice.
Not all that familiar with you. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, what it is that do, what you're into, things like that.
Well, basically, I'm 17. I'm a senior in high school. Just right now, kind of focusing on graduating my senior project, mixed with working at GameStop, trying to have time for video games, and playing hockey. It's a giant mashup. Doesn't work out all the time, but when I can game, that's basically what I'm doing. If I'm not doing one of the other ones, I'm either on my Xbox or my computer playing something.
It's a busy time, senior year.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially whenever you're working and everything and trying to fit the sports in and stuff like that. I played volleyball and tennis in high school, and I was working from the time I was a sophomore all those years ago, and I was putting in 32 hours a week, and then you're trying to get all your stuff for senior year. And people are always like, yeah, he's got senioritis. He doesn't do much with school. His grades drop. It's not because we suck and we become stupid. It's because we're out there working, trying to afford the car that we're driving to here and there and trying to participate in sports. I just always found that to be funny, and I try to keep that in mind because I have two kids. And it's one of those things where you're like, well, you want to come down on them, but at the same time, like, my daughter's in softball, and she pretty much plays year-round now. And my son is in gymnastics, and it's so hard to do that. But how do you actually make the time? I mean, you've got all the I used to cheat and stay up super-duper late and survive on 3.5-4 hours of sleep a night. So how do you manage?
Well, there's that. I usually don't go to bed until like 2 and then have to wake up at 6. But really, it's just when it comes to work and practice and stuff, it's just let one or the other know, like, you know, I work this day this week or I practice this day this week. Can we try to get the schedules to, like, not match up so I can, you know, make both? But other than that, it's just got to hope that I have extra time and that things work out, because if not, it's just not going to work.
Yeah. And it is. It's hard, and it only gets harder, I can assure you.
Yeah.
Yay. So high school really is like a preparation for life. The fun part is college. When you get into college and you have everybody doing sort of the same thing, especially, I mean, you've got the job that I wish I had when I was in high school. I would have killed to work at GameStop whenever I was in high school, except for back then it was EB Games, and that was pretty much it. We had a store called Video Game Exchange, which was the first experience that I had with a store like GameStop, to where they sold pre-owned games. But one of those things, I mean, what's some of the crazier things that you've heard people come in and ask for? Do people still ask for, like, super retro games when they come in there and say, why don't you carry Nintendo games? Or Nintendo and Nintendo.
There's
system.
A lot of people that are always wondering if we either sell or buy, like, PlayStation 2 and stuff. So, like, not even necessarily the super old, but, like, even just, like, PlayStation 2, which we don't take anymore. Bunch of people asking about that. Mm-hmm. But the one question that drives me nuts is if we have Minecraft for the Wii. The amount of times I've wanted to the counter because I have some mom that knows nothing asking me for Minecraft for the Wii is insane. And I have to try and explain it to them, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I can only imagine, because my son is 9 years old, and I shit you not, he has Minecraft for the 360, he has Minecraft for the PS4, and he just took a gift card that he got for Christmas and bought it for the PC.
Yep.
The kid has Minecraft on the brain. I don't understand. I think he has an emulator as well on his Android tablet.
Yeah.
And it's like, when he's not doing that, he's watching YouTube videos. I don't understand.
Like, I have it on my 360 and I have it on my One, but don't really care to get it on the PC or anything. Like, just got it on the One because all the friends got it on that, so instead of playing it on the 360, we play it on the One now. But that's usually only occasionally. It's not even necessarily, like, all the time. It's just, there's something mm-hmm. with kids these days that it's all of the time. It's Minecraft and only Minecraft.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cash cow. It couldn't have taken that much to actually develop. I mean, you look at it, it's a bunch of blocks with different colors. And the simplest thing, and what, they just sold to Microsoft for like $1.4 billion or something like
Notch
that?
Yeah, Notch doesn't have to work another day. He doesn't have to do anything another day in his life if he doesn't want to.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it, because then you can just do whatever the hell it is that pleases you.
Yep.
I told Ryan Noble the other day, if I won the Powerball, I'm like, the first thing I would do is just buy an ice skating rink, and then whenever I wasn't doing anything, I'd be like, yep, I'm going down to the rink, get some laps in. But yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's just the fact that they're able to take something so simple and just really come up with an empire just by catering to small kids. And really, the simplicity of it, I think, is what gets you. And I was actually discussing this with some people at work. Sometimes simpler is just better, because we seem to be living in a more and more complicated world. And Minecraft is not that difficult to get the concept, to understand what's going on. And I think that sometimes you look at the controllers for video game systems today, there's like 16 buttons, a touchpad, analog, digital. They got all these different things. And it's like back in the day, the Atari started with just a directional stick and a single button.
Cool.
And sometimes it's best to just do that. Revert back to simple.
Yeah. Didn't have an Atari, little bit too young for that, but started off with like an SNES and an NES. And even with that, you had four buttons and the directional sticks. Like, that's all there was. And some of the best games I've ever played were for the Nintendo on just those four buttons.
Yeah, it's really nice. And my son, I catch him coming down here sometimes because we have a number of different older systems in the house because I kept a lot of what I had throughout the years. For whatever reason, I didn't keep my NES. But he'll sit there and he'll play the Sega Genesis with its three buttons. And he just has a blast. I mean, playing things like Mutant League Football or Mutant League Hockey. And he just has so much fun playing with that and the original PS1. I think simple is better. But one of the things that we like to do, well, we haven't done it on Toons Game Time, but back 4 years ago, one of the guys that got me into podcasting, doing video game shows, was Fat Ninja. That was the name of his show, the Fat Ninja Game Talk Radio. No longer on the airwaves due to some issues. But one of the things he would always do is he'd go over what they've been playing for the week. So I'm going to start doing that, I think, because really Toons Game Time is about the games that we play. So, Tucker, what have you been playing recently?
All right, so first and foremost, World of Warcraft. It's addicting, it's ridiculous, but it's probably the one that I play the most often just because it's one that I can play by myself and not have to rely on other people being there. On top of that is Destiny. I got the Metro Redo Redux, don't know how that word works, which is just Metro Last Light and 2033 for the one. The Evil Within, okay. Dragon Age Inquisition, and Outlast. So it's either a first-person shooter, some RPG game, or something that's going to scare the living crap out of me.
Nice. Nice. See, like, World of Warcraft, I cannot get into. And when I say I cannot get into it, I probably would get into it.
It's the time, yeah.
And I was actually discussing this, I think with Ryan Noble. It might have been Paul Kissick on one of the previous episodes. I have too addictive of a personality. Yep. To where I know, just stay away from
and
that game.
One of the main problems with it is, I swear to God, they developed it to be addicting. Like, it's not just one of those things that, you know, a lot of people happen to like. There's got to be something about it that is just addictive in of itself.
Yeah, like a crispy cream donut.
Exactly. Oh, why did the one around here have to close?
Yeah. But what I've been playing, I've actually been playing two games this week. I keep on the swapper when the kids are awake. The swapper is really super fun. It's probably really fun. I like puzzle games,
games that make
me think.
So much fun.
I'm kind of a cerebral person, and I think that's why I can't get into Call of Duty, too, because it's just mindless shooting. I gotta have that RPG element in any first-person shooter, or I just can't get into it. And the other one that I've been playing when the kids go to bed is Resident Evil HD for the PlayStation 4. Let me tell you something. Like, I don't know if you played the original.
No, I have. I've played all of them.
Resident Evil. I didn't play the one for the GameCube that the HD remake is based on. So I was extremely disappointed when I didn't get to hear the Masters of Unlocking. I was really disappointed in that. But the controls for Resident Evil HD are so gloriously, deliciously clunky. I mean, they remind me so much of the first game to where it's hard to get into because you're so used to the way games are controlled now and how smooth the movements are. And with Resident Evil, it's kind of like it's back and forth. It's strange camera changing angles. And it's just one of those things where as I'm playing it, I'm like, yep, I remember this. And at the same time, it's almost blindingly frustrating but fun at the same time because you're just not used to the style of gameplay anymore. It's been just awesome. Probably the best $20 I've spent in a while.
It seems they like to do that clunky control system, weird camera angles with a lot of survival horror games. Like, Evil Within, it don't want to compare it to Resident Evil even though it's made by the same guy. There are so many instances where the camera angle is just so weird and you got to maneuver yourself around to be able to see what you need to see that I feel like they do that.
Yeah.
Like, they put that letterbox on it just so you can't see everything and it makes the jump scares so much better.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it really does. And it's so much, like, I was telling my wife, I'm like, the funny thing was, I remember buying it whenever I was, when I was a kid, essentially. I think I was 14. Or when did it come out? It came out in 91 or 93. So I would have been like 14, something like that. But I just remember you only play it at night when it was dark in the house. And then that whole combination of you don't know what's coming next, things would just pop out of nowhere and scare the hell out of you. It tries to recapture that, and I think it does a pretty good job of it. But either way, what we're going to do now, we're actually going to move into the news of the week.
Insider news from the video game industry, from the outside. It's Tunes Game Time News Time.
All right, and for our first bit of news this week, Joystick has been really kind of had an unfortunate week. I don't know how frequent frequently you visit joystick.com or visit TID, as it were.
You know, every now and again, WoW Insider was there, so whenever that popped up. But other than that, not very often.
Yeah, I kind of used it a lot. I like the format of it, and I listened to the podcast first. Before I ever actually went to joystick.com, I would listen to their podcast, and I like their personalities. But they've had a really bad week.
Yeah.
Uber Joystick.
To put it lightly.
Starting with the quarterly earnings for, what is it, Yahoo? I believe, or Yahoo or AOL. I don't even remember who their parent company
is.
Because, yeah, I knew it was one of those, but AOL is canceling a lot of blogs, and Joystick is actually getting the axe. They are still operating a little bit, but there were rumors, and their response to the rumors were actually kind of funny initially. They basically came out, and they said, there's a rumor that we're closing shop, and we're going to treat it like any other rumor, and until we have confirmation from multiple sources, we're not going with it. And then just a couple of days later, they said, yeah, it's official. We're getting closed up. Just one of those things. I mean, I've been in businesses that have closed, and it's not a fun thing, so I can only imagine what they're going through, having to find new jobs and things like that. The site was started in June of 2004, shortly after E3 that year. So it's been around a while, and they've been a great source of news, a really good source of information in the video game world. Just a week or two ago, they actually announced that they were going to drop their rating system. They weren't going to numerically rate video games anymore. Is this going to be a big impact for you? I mean, Joystick closing? It doesn't sound like it will be.
Not, like, all that big. I mean, yeah, there's a couple blogs or articles that I read every now and again, but it's not like it's the only place that has them. It's just, it was one of the better ones. Like, the articles were always very well written and actually interesting to read, but it's not necessarily the only place to get them.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's a whole influx of them, and I think one of the concerns with the industry is that this ends up being sort of a pattern of those mid-level blogs that are kind of run by other companies. They're going to start getting the axe because there are so many of them, and maybe it's people like me. We're at fault for throwing stuff out there. I don't know, but just even after that, the week just continued to get worse for Joystick, as former Joystick editor Andrew Yoon actually died while on vacation in Texas. So while Joystick isn't posting too much right now, I think they're just kind of skeleton key, kind of show up, kind of sewing up shop there. They did post an article about Andrew Yoon. He was 29 years of age. He drowned while in Texas. He went from writing for video game websites like Joystick to designing Divorce, the card game, which will be released later this February. Kind of a sad story when you consider it. I mean, he goes and he basically gets to fulfill his dream of getting this game out there, but doesn't actually live to see the release of it.
Yeah.
That's just a shame. And, I mean, from in the pan to into the fire. That's pretty much been Joystick's luck this week. But if you do listen to podcasts, I strongly recommend going and listening to the Joystick podcast this week, because they're kind of going over with a lot of the contributors and just doing little 15-minute shows where they talk about how they came to Joystick and some of their favorite memories of not only Joystick, but from the video game industry itself and their own personal lives. It's really interesting stuff if you get the chance to listen to it. I strongly recommend it.
Definitely have to check that out. Didn't even know they had a podcast, but now that I do, there we go.
Exactly. But moving on to the next story, which is also kind of strange. IKEA, the well-known furniture manufacturer, is entering the game business. According to Geek.com, they're creating a puzzle game called Home Improvisation. And I'm sure it's pronounced different because Swedish or whatever the country they're from. I never really paid that much attention. I don't own any IKEA furniture. However, basically the whole concept of this puzzle game is you have to build their furniture. It uses a very simple control structure where you kind of spin the parts on their axes and piece them together and put the fasteners in there. Basically, it features everything about IKEA that seems to drive their customers completely crazy, including one of the features that I saw is you can lose parts underneath the box.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, why would you include that in the game? I don't understand. Now, there have been a lot of commercial games, essentially, but none of them have tried to outright frustrate you with, just apparently the outward realism. Is this a game that you would be interested in playing at all?
I mean, to give it a try, it definitely sounds like it's meant to be frustrating, which those games are generally a lot of fun, just because they do everything they can to make you mad. But it's, I don't know if I can really play a game where you're just kind of building furniture. Like, maybe if I tried it out and it actually is like a lot of fun because of all the frustrations and everything that goes on, something that I'd have to try before I really gave an opinion on it. Looks like it could be funny, but it also looks like it could be not so great.
Yeah, it really is. And the only thing I can think of, my wife is actually an occupational therapist, so she kind of works with the mentally disabled and the learning disabilities and things like that. And sometimes they work with spatial recognition and things like that. And I could picture maybe that, trying to put it together, but I would also be that one person that goes in and does the whole LeBat Blue Blair, like the bear that took the bookshelf and made that awesome beer dispenser chair in the commercial. That would totally be me. I'd be trying to make things. And that's the only thing I could think of that would make this game actually fun. But I did compile a list of some of the other commercial games through history, because essentially that's what this is. It's a glorified commercial for IKEA, or else they wouldn't have done it. Some of the noted ones that I just sat down and tried to remember, which ones did I have, which ones did I remember seeing? The BK series, Burger King came out with a whole bunch of games just a few years ago for the 360. What were they, Big Bumpin'?
Sneak King.
Sneak King was a blast. I had so much fun with that.
I don't know if I'd call it a blast, but it was definitely interesting.
It was different for me because I have kids, and they would just laugh every time you dive into a hay wagon or you'd sneak up on the people, and they just thought it was so funny how we'd just pull out the breakfast sandwich and hand it out. And then what was the other one? They had like one that was like bikes. You were in the mini bikes. I can't remember what it was called.
I remember Big Bumpin' and
but
I remember
that one too.
Sneaking, but I can't remember the other one.
Yeah, it was a great promotion by Burger King. It did exactly what it was supposed to do, which was got its product into homes, raised awareness of their product, and people went there to buy the stupid games for $5. Which, by the way, like, we used to have Hollywood Video just close the whole chain. Closed just, 2 years ago or something like that. And I went into Hollywood Video, into the game section, and they were selling it for like $8.
What?
And I'm like, wait a minute. You could buy it new for $5. No wonder you went out of business.
I remember seeing it work for like 98 cents. I think it is now. Like, I think the cheapest we can go on a game is 98 cents. So I think that's what they're all labeled as, but.
It's just insane. But one of the ones was Cool Spot for the Genesis, 7-Up's game where you get to play as Spot the Dot. That was kind of fun. I remember having it as a kid. Domino's Pizza had Avoid the Noid and Yo-Noid for the DOS systems and NES, respectively. Chester Cheetah. I couldn't remember what system this was, but there was Chester Cheetah, Too Cool to Fool. I mean, just completely shameless promotion. Yep. Cool, the Coca-Cola Kid for the Sega Master System, which was kind of fun. And then Kool-Aid Man for the Atari 2600. Really, Atari introduced the first mass commercialism of games, even if you want to consider things like E.T., which was obviously a terrible game. But it's kind of funny because you end up now, we got like hockey games, NHL. The NHL series is notorious for it. They have advertising on their boards that change from game to game, which is awesome. Adds a level of realism, and yet it makes money for EA. And then obviously just about every sports game has it to where there's sponsors involved, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. Especially with NHL, like, it's always, you know, you're making fun of your friend. It's like, you're not supposed to shoot at the Honda sign. You're supposed to hit the net. But that Honda sign is never always a Honda sign. It's always something else.
Yeah. And then you're like, but I'm Shea Weber. But either way, I don't know. I'll be interested to see if I can locate the sales figures for the IKEA's game. Okay. Just to see how much
they selling it, or is it free to play?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know. I'll have to look that up. I'll definitely research it, though. If it's free to play, I'll play it, and I'll review it, and I'll post it on thetoonshow.com.
It's just like a like a flash game, basically, that you can just play in the browser.
Yeah, I hope. Because if so, I am totally reviewing it, because that would be just hilarious. I'm morbidly curious, we'll just say that. But moving on to the next stick story. Ubisoft, in an effort to outdo Sony in the just terrible PR department, removed licenses for Far Cry 4, and I can't talk again, which they're angering a lot of different people over this. Basically what happened is Ubisoft was notified by EA apparently some people have stolen a lot of credit cards, and they're not just regular people, because that happens, but EA Origins discovered that a lot of people were buying Ubisoft accounts through third parties, and those third parties had used the stolen credit cards to actually purchase these key licenses, or license keys, rather, for Far Cry 4 using the stolen credit cards. And then EA turns around, notifies Ubisoft of the transgressions, if you will, at which point Ubisoft just canceled all these accounts with basically no explanation to the people who bought these things. And it's not even their fault. So the users went and legitimately bought from these third parties. The two that were named were G2A and Kinguin. They used their legitimate credit cards to purchase these from these two sites. And it turns out the two sites had used stolen credit cards to actually buy their license keys to begin with. So the customer ends up getting ripped off because these two middlemen, essentially, went and were able to purchase large numbers of license keys without having legitimate credit cards. Just another black eye for Ubisoft. I mean, you look at their year. It's been a pretty crappy year for them. They've had as bad a six-month period as Sony has with their PS network issues.
Unity was bad.
Unity. How can they put that out? I don't even know how they were able to put that thing out.
Yeah,
I mean, that was ridiculous. But, I mean, if you were the customer that had your Far Cry 4 account suspended or terminated, how angry would you be? I mean, they're literally giving you no information.
I'd be very angry. I understand, that they're canceling it because it was all bought with, stolen credit cards from those third parties. But you got to give the customer some kind of heads up, like, hey, you're using an illegal key, whatever. If you bought it from a third party, figure out a way that they can do that. But the fact that they just canceled it, no questions answered, just it's over, was not the best decision.
Yeah, completely. And the thing is, EA did right in this instance, obviously. But at the same time, you can't say, well, they're just good people, because they're the ones who got ripped off initially. I guess G2A has put out a thing saying that if your account was one of the ones affected, that you're to contact them and they'll do something, but they haven't indicated what. So ideally, it's give the money back and maybe a little bit of reparation. Because you got these people that sunk all these hours into Far Cry 4, and they basically have everything just taken away. That's completely ridiculous. As of the last printing that I saw, Kinguin had not done the same. They haven't said anything. They're remaining mum. Who knows? Maybe Kinguin will shut down just to avoid it.
Wouldn't be surprised.
But it's just terrible handling.
Then again, some of the blame also goes on to the people that bought it from the third parties. Not necessarily trying to say they're all at fault, but I want to know, what price these third parties were offering it for, because if they were like, oh, hey, here's Far Cry 4, but it's $40 instead of $60, that causes them to be like, oh, well, it's on sale, so I'll buy it here, knowing that they didn't even buy it in the first place, so that's $40 profit on every single one they sell.
Yeah, that is actually completely ridiculous, too, because people need to use their common sense, and I think that oftentimes we just allow ourselves to say, oh, I can save a buck. Well, that's all well and good, but, I mean, you got to use common sense and only use, reputable sites. And I'm sure just because it pops up in Google first, that doesn't make it a reputable site. That just means they have really good search engine optimization, which, to me, is just completely hilarious because, I mean, it's one of those things, I think it's evidence of people not fully understanding the internet and how it works.
I think the only thing that tops this kind of thing was when Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 dropped. There was, I believe it happened in France, a bunch of guys stormed the truck carrying however many copies of it with fully loaded assault rifles, tear gas, and bulletproof vests, stole $300,000 worth of Modern Warfare 3s, and sold them on the internet. And the people that bought them on the internet thought that they'd be perfectly fine and that I think that was Sledgehammer wasn't going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
But once again, it's you're getting it, you're getting it illegal at that point because it's a month before the game even comes out. But people are still going to try and buy it because it's cheaper.
Yeah, and it is. It's one of those things where it's I don't understand why they would do that, because the video game industry is, as much as we see billions of dollars going into it, it's also hurting because of the number of people that are involved in video games. A lot of times we don't take into account some of the logistics that we don't actually see on a daily basis. We see the end product, but when you consider just how technical games have come, you compare an Xbox One, a PlayStation 4's tech, how big the games are, and you take that and you say, oh, look at this. At this game for the NES, I played it for 4 hours, and I was done. And now it's if you play an 8-hour game, you're like, what the hell? Because most of the games now are 20, 30, 40, even more when it comes to the length of the game and just how much detail and the number of people that have to work to make those things happen They spent money
and
on the
games. Not only is it the people going into like the storyboarding to get it to be that long, but then however many people they have to get the graphics to where they are nowadays is insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I mean, if you need to know, just watch some of the making of videos, because they do have them out there you can watch to where you see just the process. Different documentaries have been done on video games and how they're made. Check them out. I know there's a few on Netflix. It's well worth the watch, especially if you're interested in the industry. But what we're going to do now, because it kind of ties into this discussion, is move on to our topic of the week. The topic of the week this week is actually digital downloads and how they're actually changing the industry, because one of the things that they're looking at is digital downloads do help the financial standing of the industry for developers, because, quite frankly, they're relatively cheap. They don't have to deal with various things like the cost of discs and things like that. But what I wanted to talk about, because, Tucker, you do work at GameStop, so you see how these things are changing from a retail perspective, and I think that's kind of important. So we're going to talk over a couple of points. I think I have 7 points here. 7 points. And we're going to kind of go over them kind of real quickly and just get your thoughts on them and my thoughts as well about how these things are affecting the gaming industry and whether it's a good or bad thing. And then kind of a final judgment as well. And first off, since I've already mentioned it, I'll just go to the very last one that I had. More profit for the developers thanks to less cost, less overhead cost. Now, right off the bat, you kind of got to say, well, while that's good, I mean, the digital downloads still cost a pretty penny. You're still paying $60 in a lot of cases for new releases. But if it's able to keep these developers in business, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, obviously, it's got to be a good
thing,
right?
There's still, I don't want to say the vast majority because I don't actually know, but there's still a large majority of people that would rather have the physical copy of the disc. But say those aren't available, digital downloads work just fine. It makes it so much more accessible, and I think because of that, it does, in fact, you know, it helps the industry. It helps everyone, really.
Yeah, and one of my big things, I love having physical copies, because you just don't know what's going to happen with the digital copy. I don't know about you, but every time I buy something for the PlayStation, I keep everything, all the receipt or whatever that they email me with all the key codes and all that other fun stuff. I'm just a naturally paranoid person when it comes to losing things in a digital world.
I think I went through 4 copies of Call of Duty World at War just from, like, the physical copy, just from taking it in and out of the case so much, the disc started to crack from the inside.
Yes.
But because, like, if you have the receipt, and one thing that I've gotten myself to do on everything is when you can buy one of the little warranties for them, get them. Because you happen to break it, get a new one. For free, it works.
Yeah. And I learned the hard way. Because I had to rebuy Skyrim, because that same thing happened. Because, I mean, Skyrim, it's one of those games where I didn't play around my kids, so it was getting put in the case far more often than if I didn't have kids, because they would have just left it in the system. But yeah, I mean, it's completely right, and I think for the original Xbox, I think I ended up buying 2 copies of each of NHL 9, 10, and 11. I think I ended up doing it, and I should have learned back then. But by the time I actually needed new copies of it, then, I mean, they were only like 15, 20 bucks or whatever at that point anyway. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you look at the hard copy versus the digital copy. You mentioned the accessibility. I love the accessibility of digital games. Now, even though I'm nervous about them, you get access to, like, all these kind of sales and stuff like that. Yesterday, I haven't logged on to PS Network today, because I literally woke up 40 minutes before we went on the air here. But they had Madden 15 on sale, like a Super Bowl edition, where you could get additional, I think it was Joe Montana, Reggie White, and I can't remember who the other player was, but you could get a digital copy of it for like $24.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That's a hell of a deal. And I think it was on sale through EA. I don't know if it still is, like I said, because new day. But it's right there at your fingertips. I don't have to put pants on and go to GameStop. but at the same time, I mean, how are digital sales actually affecting the retail industry? I mean, you see it on a daily basis. Do people come in and like, buy the... like the cards from you guys for with the codes where they can download them? Or is that kind of one of those things where people mostly just come in to buy the hard copy?
Most of people just come in to buy the hard copy. Sometimes they'll come in and be like, you know, you need the Xbox, PlayStation money because they want to download a game, whatever. But a lot of the times, whenever they're buying the money to download the game, it's because we don't have the physical copy or can't find the physical copy. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of... they come in originally looking for the physical copy, but are perfectly fine with the downloadable if that's the only option they have.
Yeah. And that's, I think, something that's key, too, because, you know, some things, I mean, you look, I live in Youngstown. Youngstown is not a very hockey-friendly environment. So when an NHL game comes out, before I can, like, find it used or even in some cases new, I gotta wait like 2 months, or I gotta make the trip to Pittsburgh when I go down to see my family, and I just gotta make a special trip and go to visit them. Because it's just not a hockey-friendly place up here. Whereas, I log on to either Xbox 360, Xbox Live, or PlayStation Network, I can just be like, hey, here you go. And, at the same time, when it comes to retail, I actually do buy the codes. From retailers, local retailers, because I know that the retailers get, like, no, two reasons. One, I know the retailers get a little bit of overhead on those, and two, I don't trust Sony.
Yeah,
I just don't.
They got hacked and had all of that information stolen, even if it's Xbox that, you know, people say has more protectivity or whatever the word is, security. If it's online, like mm-hmm. Xbox or anything, I wouldn't put my credit card in. Just not a good idea.
No, and whenever I buy something, like on PlayStation at work, you have the option to use PayPal. I use PayPal, but what I do is I change my password to a temporary password, I make the purchase, and then I change my password again. you just can't be too careful, and that's one of the things that's driving me nuts. But one of the other points that's kind of crazy about the digital download, it's quality control. You have all this accessibility, and they've got the digital downloads, but the thing is, they update the game day one. They have an update. And you end up with Assassin's Creed Unity, or Halo Master Chief Collection, or any other number of horror stories with the video game industry, and they take those digital downloads and make it an excuse not to put out a good game right off the shelf. How much do you think this is affecting the game? Because it seems like it becomes a bit of a joke, but it doesn't slow down sales of game series. Is that something that you hear complaints about
absolutely.
From the retail end?
The amount of people, whether it's Assassin's Creed Unity, Master Chief Collection, or whatever game that failed right off the bat, it's everybody gets so overhyped for it and so excited for it that they get it expecting it to work, you know, be the actual game, like it. They made it work, so they're going to sell it. When in reality, it's they hit their deadline, don't necessarily have all the bugs worked out, so they put it out anyway and then just fix it as soon as they can with a patch, which, like for Master Chief Collection, drove so many people crazy. I know people that waited 4 hours to get into a single multiplayer match for Master Chief Collection.
That's nuts. I was so looking forward to it, and honestly, the only reason we got the PlayStation 4 is because somebody told me that it was easier to upload videos. And that's what we bought it for my son for Christmas. So, like, he wanted to do the Minecraft videos because we do a retro gaming show, him and I, a podcast. And he just wanted to, as part of that podcast and his little blog site, he wanted to be able to post videos of him playing Minecraft. So that's the only reason we got the PlayStation 4 instead of the Xbox One. I wanted that Master Chief Collection so bad and had to sacrifice it. But it's one of those things. I mean, you look at these games that are so incomplete, and I think initially the whole online play was obviously for online play, and then like downloadable content, which was supposed to be just like an extra thing and sort of has become a staple of almost every series. I mean, when's the last game that came out that didn't have some sort of an expansion pack to it?
And with the DLC, I understand it's a good idea to have it extend the game, whatever. It makes them a little bit more money, so that's why they do it. The one thing that angers me the most is, like with Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, when they put the one part of the game that people are looking forward to and make it so you can only get it if you buy the season pass. So Advanced Warfare had zombies.
Yeah.
But only if you spent the extra $50 to get the season pass.
Yeah, that's insane. And it almost feels like extortion to me. I mean, it's one thing if you're EA and do the idiotic thing, which is eliminate all the aspects of a game, like NHL,
yep,
that people actually wanted, and then later say, are bad. But it's another thing altogether if you actually do it with the purpose of just selling something else. That's what we call bullshit, people. And then there's the one other thing, and that's the increased ability to sell more hardware. You start out with your Xbox 360, and I don't know that this was the intended purpose, but one of my beefs with the 360 is you download these digital games, and all it does is take up memory, and then you have to weigh, well, do I want to delete this game to free up more memory to buy this other game, or do I want to go out and buy a 500 gig memory card for $150 or $200 or whatever they were? They're making money off that hardware because it doesn't cost that much to make them. I don't know. Just in general, do you think that the digital downloads are actually improving or kind of taking some of the luster away from the video gaming
Honestly,
industry and how games are made?
Like, as good as DLC and them being able to patch things is, I don't like it just because they're so willing to put an unfinished game out on the market just because they know they can fix everything later. Like, that just bothers me to no end. Like, if you need to, push release date back.
Yeah.
Game. Some companies do that. And then some, like Ubisoft, with Unity, don't.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things. There are so many positives and negatives to the whole digital download concept. I love it, and I hate it, and I just don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. If they could get rid of the shit game releases, I think I would be all for it. But they don't. They just use it as an excuse to rip it. Just rip them out there. Just throw them out there, like whether it's finished or not. And at the same time, I have a hard time blaming them, because that's the society we live in. It's all about just instant gratification, and if we have to wait, if they say, you know what, we're going to push this back a month or two, we have more of a problem with that than if they give us a game right off the box that is just terrible, and we have to wait that couple weeks for the download. And it's like, they need to realize that we'll be less mad at them for pushing the release date back, but giving us a decent product right off the shelf, than if they just give us this thing that not only do we have to live with the frustration of it not being complete, but we have it in our hands and it's not complete. I think that's far worse. But I wish they would just get their crap together, that's all. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a little break by playing a retro commercial, which is what we do. It's our commercial of the week. You are listening to Toons Game Time right here on the Trending Topics Network. Here's your commercial of the week.
Sorti tout droit des égouts du Bronx, les célèbres Tortues Ninja débarquent sur votre console Nintendo. Rejoignez ces héros carapacés. Utilisez des ninjas. traverser les égouts. Tracez votre chemin au Bazooka et délivrez la ville des diaboliques robots et de l'horrible Shredder. Dans Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, toute la saga des Tortues Ninja, exclusivement sur console Nintendo.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the NES was literally one of my favorite games, and I'll reference it constantly on this show. Did you have any games that you really liked as a kid that you just kind of wish would come back? That's something that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Pocket Monsters for the NES, I believe it was called, was probably, it was the first game I ever played as a kid and probably still one of my favorites. If I can get, like, an HD remake of that game, I'd be set.
You mean, like, I am not leaving the house.
Yep.
It's all over for me. Yeah, I just love so many NES games, and I really don't know why I don't have an NES at this point, but either way. Looking at the upcoming releases for the week, because I do like to keep people informed, and last week, honestly, my apologies to anybody who listened to last week's show, because I was up for 21 straight hours by the time I started the podcast last week, and it was a hot mess. Ryan Noble actually helped me carry that show because I was just all over the place. But upcoming releases for this week, there are quite a few of them. One of the ones that came out yesterday, which I actually missed, was hashtag iDarb.
I don't even know how
you're supposed to pronounce it. Yeah, it's iDarb. Well, that came out for the Xbox One yesterday, so be sure to go and check that out. Criminal Girls, invite only. Sounds kind of fun. It comes out tomorrow on Vita, as well as SpongeBob Hero Pants for the 360, 3DS, and Vita. Both of those come out tomorrow. On the 4th, we got a long spread, so pretty much every day there's something coming out over the next 2 weeks. Death Trap for the PC comes out on the 4th. Apotheon for the PS4 comes out on the 5th. Also on the 5th, Kick and Fennec for the Vita. And then we got to wait a week, 5 days, for Evolve. Evolve looks great.
Oh my god,
are you
yes.
looking forward to this one at all?
It's made by the same people as Left 4 Dead 2, which is probably one of my favorite, if not the best, multiplayer games of all time. So just the fact that they're trying to go at it again to make one of those games that is meant to be played multiplayer. Looking into it a little bit, the balancing isn't necessarily the best yet in the beta and stuff. At times the monster's overpowered, at times the hunters are overpowered. So once they get that down, I feel like it's probably going to be one of the better games this year.
Yeah, I think it looks awesome. I know there's a lot of hype around it from the gaming community, let alone the people who review the games. But that's coming out for the Xbox One, the PS4, and the PC on the 10th. Also coming out on the 10th, PlayStation exclusive is Unmechanical Extended. I'm not too familiar with that one. On the 11th for the Vita, you've got Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 2, because it's got to have a crazy name. Then on the 13th, which will be next week, The Escapist, which is an Xbox One exclusive. For the 3DS, The Legend of Zelda continues. They're putting out Majora's Mask 3D. So that's kind of a throwback to the past. A lot of people should be interested in that. Majora's Mask is one of the creepier games from The Legend of Zelda. It kind of almost
yeah,
doesn't fit the Zelda
ethos. Yeah, but it's also one
of
the better ones. Like, that one's probably one of, if not my favorite Zelda games, so the fact that they're remaking it is awesome.
Yeah, it is. I love that they remake these games. I mean, I totally love new concepts, and I rip on a lot of companies like Nintendo for relying too much on retro stuff. But some of the games deserve to be remade, and that was just one of those ones that just totally didn't fit the Zelda mold. But it was awesome. Then Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate for the 3DS as well on the 13th. And then the new 3DS XL, which actually should mean that a lot of 3DS games should be released on the 13th. But the 3DS XL is actually being released that day, so you're getting a hardware release in less than 2 weeks here. So look forward to that. Anything on there that jumps out the most? I'm assuming Evolve, because Evolve just it's the one
Evolve,
big AAA
the
title.
Unmechanical. Is it a PS4 exclusive? Because I looked on the website and I'm pretty sure it said it was for the One as well. Might already be. I'm not sure. But it's like a. You ever hear of Limbo? It's kind of like that with the puzzle-esque style side-scrolling thing, but it's a little less depressing. Instead of being dark
a little
and
less
filled
depressing.
With death, it's yeah. just kind of like a puzzle game, which are the best. I want more puzzle games like Portal.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a big fan of puzzle games. I didn't look too much into a lot of the games that were coming out this week. Frankly, because I didn't have time. My daughter's softball league is starting again. This is ridiculous. It's snowing out, and she's got softball. but either way, I'm kind of looking forward.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see Evolve. And The Legend of Zelda, that almost makes me want to go out and get
same way,
a 3DS.
They're a little bit expensive just for one game. So,
But what we're going to do, we're going to go over the question of the week. This is kind of a typical thing. Kind of encourage a little interactivity. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, by all means, hit us up at Toon Show. You can go to toonshow.com where we actually have a contact form, and you can fill that out. Or you can actually email us, toonshow@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Toon Show or me, Toons Brian, as well as using Skype or Facebook, which is facebook.com/toonshow. We made it as easy as possible for everybody around here. last week's question of the week is, how often do you use the ratings from websites to determine whether or not to buy a game? We got one reply, because frankly it wasn't that great of a question, admission. Mart, who you can find at Only One Mart, a big-time friend of Toons and Toons Game Time, I tend to not pay attention to the game scores. Some sites appear a little bit biased when it comes to scoring certain franchises. I think you gain more of an opinion from reading the reviews from a few sites before purchasing. In an ideal world, game reviews would be done via the medium of dance on YouTube. I agree.
Oh, yeah.
That would be far more entertaining.
Can we make that a thing, please?
Interpretive dance review. I think we should. I need to invest in an HD camera, and I would do it myself. What would you call it, like, dance reviews on YouTube? That would be way awesome. Mart, I love that idea. We're going to try to make it happen. Tuck
sure,
is going to be
not?
The first one to do it. And we will host it at teenshow.com. But, what are your thoughts? Do you oftentimes use rating systems, or do you go by word of mouth? How is it that you... You
usually
make your,
just go
your
by
buying
word of mouth.
Decisions.
I've learned that the ratings are kind of biased, as Call of Duty always gets like a 9 out of 10, which it's the same game, so it doesn't necessarily deserve it, when, you know, some of the other ones that get the lower ones are a lot better. So I just go with what I've heard of the games, what, like, opinions people have, people that have played the beta, stuff like that. So I go more on what actual people think than just the critics.
Excellent. Yeah, and see, I actually have... I almost never buy on the first day. I usually wait at least a few weeks. And I have actually what I call the GameStop test. It's a GameStop review is simply kind of goes like this. I wait like 3 weeks. And then I'll go to GameStop and I'll look at the pre-owned shelf. And if you've got more than 5 copies of a new game... then that game is probably crap, and so I won't buy it. I mean, I figure if it's a good game, people are going to keep it. They're going to want to replay it. They're not going to take it back to GameStop within a couple weeks of having purchased it. And that's kind of the way I do it. And I don't know how many, if you actually pay attention to how many copies come back,
touching
like right
back
off
on
the
Unity
bat.
Again, I think I worked 4 days after its release. I personally took in 16 copies of it on trade.
Yeah, see? I mean, if the game is
absolutely.
Shit, people are taking it back. They're not going to sit on it. So that's my test. I actually came up with that a few years ago because I realized, I'm like, why the hell are there so many copies of this? It just came out. And I'm like, yep, I'm not buying that one.
I mean, definitely something to go back, just because if it's a good game, you're not going to find it pre-owned for well over a couple of months.
Yeah. But what we're going to do, before we close out this week's show, this week's question of the week. This week's question of the week, throughout this show, we were actually talking about the video games industry's trend towards digital downloads and the way they do it. So our question is, do you think that the current trend towards digital downloads is being done the right way? Do you think it's the right way to go? And if not, what changes, or even if so, what changes would you like to see this trend actually take on? So what changes do you like or not like about this? I know I didn't word that very well, but you get the general idea. Obviously, digital downloads aren't going anywhere anytime fast. Do you think it's a good idea? And how would you change it, if you could? So that's this week's question of the week. Be sure to hit me up at all the aforementioned Tune Show methods, I guess you could say. We'll be posting articles on TuneShow.com this week, so you'll be able to find that on Facebook. You'll be able to find that on Twitter. If you follow me or the Trending Topics Network, which is at the TTNet, or the Tune Show Twitter, you'll be able to see those pop up on your timeline from time to time. Tucker, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show here. I really appreciate it. You're welcome back anytime. And before we go, do you have anything that you'd like to plug? I know you have Twitter, and is there anything else that you appear
really
on or do?
It's basically Twitter, and that's about it, so nothing really to plug in there.
Yeah. All right, excellent. So you can find him on Twitter at @u_me_McKee. So that's you as in the word you, not the letter U, and McKee as in M-C-K-A. Hi, M-C-K-E-E. Not Mackie, McKee. So, you never know. You have to... listeners aren't that smart.
Nowadays you say U and everybody's like, I tried looking up the letter U and it's not there.
But I really do appreciate you coming on here. And like I said, you're welcome back on anytime. I'm kind of running sort of a rotation, pulling as many people in as I can. Because we all like video games. Eventually, at some point, I'm going to do like a huge, massive show that we get like 3 or 4 guests on, because that's always a lot of fun, too. Just comes a big gaggle of craziness. But I do appreciate you coming on. And to the listeners out there, be sure to check out TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, TuneShow.com, and all these sites and places that I actually mentioned. If you have anything for the show, you can send a voicemail just by going to Skype and searching out Tune Show, TOONSSHOW, and I have a setup to where it will record a, I believe, 3-minute voicemail. So you'll have 3 minutes to tell me whatever it is you like. You can also send me MP3 files if you decide to record and produce something. I'll play that. I can do it. Mart said that he would, except he broke his microphone somehow. I'm assuming because he's old and he doesn't understand technology. But either way, this has been This Week for Tunes Game Time. Thanks for listening, and until next week, hit the reset button.